Orle pues, Raza. Welcome back to Chicano Highlights. I'm your host, The Beto Man, and we have a very special guest, Becky Cordova. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
All right. And we're going to start off with your parents. Where are they from?
My parents were born, both of them, in Oklahoma City and moved here at a very young age into Compton, California, and grew up there.
¿Y qué son? ¿Son mexicanos? Are you Mexican?
Or? I am Caucasian.
You are Caucasian. Yes. How did you come up with the word Cordova?
I married Mr. Raymond Cordova.
Oh, okay, so it's through marriage.
Yes.
And in Oklahoma, what did your parents do?
They were born there. They moved here at a very young age.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have two brothers and two sisters.
All right. And what are their names?
There's Nick, Shelley, Pam, and Paul, and we're all 11 months apart. I'm the oldest. I was the mama to all of them, helped take care of them as babies.
All right. And where'd you go to school?
I went to, well, we traveled a lot all over. I went to different several schools, Norwalk, Corona, Anaheim. My father was in aircraft, so we traveled quite a bit. We finally settled over into the Antelope Valley in 77, and I attended Palmdale High School there and graduated there.
All right. Your father was in aircraft. What did he do?
He worked for Rockwell. He worked on the space shuttle.
Wow.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. And so you went to Palmdale High School, that was?
Yes, Palmdale High School, right there in the desert in Antelope Valley.
All right. And what did you do after?
I married young, and had a child very young.
Oh, okay. What age? And you don't have to say what age you are now or anything like that. Just how old were you when you married young?
Well, I was 18.
All right.
Right out of school, 18.
And your first kid?
Misty. Her name was Misty. And I had her premature. And she had a lot of medical problems. She was she's a miracle baby.
Okay.
So she has cerebral palsy. She's a quadriplegic. And she's a miracle child. She's doing very well.
Oh, good.
So she's a very special, special one. She's going to be 31 this year.
Wow.
So she's doing great.
Awesome. And so what did you do? Did you go straight to work? Were you a housewife? Did you get an education?
I was a housewife, I did go back to school and trained for paralegal for a couple of years and did that. And then a few years, well, I had another child 7 years later, and that was Jamie. And then 11 months later, James, and still a housewife. My husband, we did get into trucking. And he became disabled. So I took over the trucking and learned how to drive the truck.
Okay. When you say a truck, what kind of truck?
18-wheeler. We hauled rock and sand and asphalt.
Okay. Hold on for 1 second. Now, you went to paralegal school, or what did you do exactly?
I went to paralegal college. And I did receive a certificate in a paralegal aid. And I never did. I did some work, but because of the children, I needed to stay home with them.
Right.
So that, you know, I was not allowed to, you know, come down to L.A. where the work was at and do that work. So when my husband became disabled, he stayed home with the children, and I went on to run the trucking business.
Yeah, it's always a lot of tough decisions that families have to face, ¿verdad?
Yes, it is. It was tough leaving my children, but I knew they were in good hands with their father. And at the time, my oldest daughter was in school and being very well taken care of. And we were able to have it was a women's business enterprise, me being a woman minority. So we were able to I was able to certify it through Caltrans and get some work through them and stay pretty busy. So that helped a lot, financially, until he was able to, get back to work.
Oh, good. So he was able to get back to work. Okay. So you were hauling this big 18-wheeler.
Yes. Yes, I was. And then I did a lot of fundraisers, you know, with my daughter being disabled. We used to do truck drags, mm-hmm. and I would promote them, and I would race the truck without the trailers down the quarter-mile track mm-hmm. and promote it. And it, at that time, it was for the Crippled Children's Society and raise money for the children to go to camp every year, and then my children would be out cheering me as I would race the truck mm-hmm. down the track. And a lot of fun, a lot of good times.
Mm-hmm. Where would this take place?
This was at the time, it was in Little Rock. It was the Los Angeles County Raceway, mm-hmm. and it was a quarter mile. And it was at the time, they used to have a Anaheim World's Largest Truck Show. I also would show that truck. I had a 1966 narrow-nose Peterbilt. That was a show truck. And entered that in contest and race it. So, we have a lot of history with the trucking also.
So how many years did you spend doing the truck thing?
I drove truck. I just retired 22 years.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah, that was my day job.
Mm-hmm. And did that take you different places or?
Yes, it did. I've done just about every kind of trucking. I've hauled rock and sand. I've hauled produce and cross country.
Uh-huh. How far did it take you?
I was able to acquire about four trucks I had at one time when we had the Northridge earthquake. We had a lot of work at the time, mm-hmm. and business grew, and I did very, very well at that time.
Okay, so what'd you do after?
Afterwards, business wasn't so well. I got out of the trucking business and had to move on and get a job through another company where I could get benefits for my daughter.
Okay.
So I moved on was able to work for another company, a large company, mm-hmm. who could offer those benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And things weren't doing so well with my marriage, and we went through divorce after 18 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. that was pretty tough, and I had to be a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
And move on, and that's kind of where the music came in also.
Okay, well, tell me about the music.
I was just playing around with the music, never set out to be a musician or a singer, very, very shy. And I went on to a music store with a friend, and there was they were offering a position for a singer, and they asked me to just audition, and I was just kidding around, and I auditioned for this music store. And they said, you're hired.
Wow.
And
what music store?
It was in La Habra, mm-hmm. and it was where my sister lives. So they put me to work right away, and mm-hmm. I started singing a little bit, very shy still. But the music that I was singing, it was old school. It was oldies and a little bit of music that I wasn't too familiar with, but I enjoyed it. It was soulful music. Mm-hmm. Very enjoyed it very much. And I did that for a short while. And then I met Raymond Cordova, which is my husband now, who was a musical director for many groups. And he heard my voice, and he picked out some music and said, you know what, you should try this music here. And I learned some of the music, and he introduced me to a lot of oldie groups. And they enjoyed my voice. They liked me. They took me in. And they put me to work. I opened for Al Wilson, took me in. I did back work, you know, backup work for him. The Hollywood Flames, Brenton Wood, I've opened for him. Quite a few oldie groups. I started work with the company band in about 2000. And that's when we started recording music.
Mm-hmm. So how many recordings do you have?
I have two CDs out with the company band.
What are they called?
The first one is Taking Care of Business, mm-hmm. and the second one is CO2.
Okay. And where has that taken you?
Well, a lot of help from you guys and East LA Review. I've gotten so many responses from people, so much love. And, you know, they've embraced me and taken me in and supported me, especially through some bad times that I've had these last few years. I did come down with breast cancer through all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So the music has taken me very far as hope and support.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that's what we do. We just keep moving forward and just working with my music and keep a lot of hope and move forward.
Mm-hmm. Now, how's your breast cancer?
Well, in 2006, when I was recording the first CD, right when we released the CD the next year, I came down with the breast cancer. It just hit me like a rock. I went in and I had a complete a mass on the left-hand side and had to have surgery,
mm-hmm.
Chemotherapy, extensive chemotherapy. I kept performing through the treatment. And like I said, all my friends and musicians were there for me and supported me, my family. I kept recording and kept doing my music. And I got through it okay. And now I went to perform and record my second CD.
Mm-hmm.
I had surgery to go back in and do reconstruction,
mm-hmm.
and start over again. And was told by the doctor the cancer had come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do extensive radiation again, chemotherapy, a lot of treatment in 2008. That was really, really tough. But again, my family, my friends, the fans, the radio stations, East LA Review, Latino LA, Crazy Chewy, all of these people supported me. They wrote stories about me. They were there for me, and it brought me through. Keep me strong, keep me moving forward, keep me positive. I feel pretty good. I'm in remission. I'm still singing pretty much every weekend. I don't work with a company band anymore. We parted ways last year,
mm-hmm.
But I'm still, you know, moving forward as a solo artist, working with several groups. I've been very fortunate to work with many of the Latin legends, share the stage with them, and truly honored. Got about three different groups that I'm working with right now, and I'm working on another CD as a solo artist, like I said, and I am writing my own material.
Really?
Yes.
All right. So you got a lot of stuff ready to go.
Yeah, we're working on it, moving forward, and like I said, staying positive and not looking back.
All right. And so, do you mind talking a little more about your breast cancer?
No, not at all.
Okay. Okay. Here are some questions for you, because I don't know anything about the subject, and I think people out there would be very interested in knowing. You know, the first thing you hear is you got cancer, and a lot of people just automatically want to give up. You know, it's over. What are my chances? What could I do, if anything? What did you think? Did you want to run away? Did you want to go to Europe and look for this miracle cure, or tell me about it?
That's a good question, because everybody goes through this. I've talked to many, many survivors, and I've lost a couple of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much hope for us now, and cures, not really cures, but extending our life. At the first, my cancer, my stage was 2B. The stages go up to stage 4. 4 is terminal.
Mm-hmm.
My stage was 2B. Survival rate is about 70%. When it came back, I didn't realize until last year when I was flipping through a pamphlet in the doctor's office that when it came back on my chest wall, which is 3C. Which is the last stage before terminal.
Wow.
I didn't know it was that bad until then. I talked to a lot of people. A lot of people, you know, came to me and prayed for me and were there for me. I know a lot of many women and men who are stage 4 who have lived many years. There's so much treatment now,
mm-hmm.
and hope for us, and you just take it a day at a time,
mm-hmm.
and you live life to your fullest. And I, like I said, I'm still in remission. I have to go on every 3 months for the rest of my life, and pray. I pray every day, and I stay positive. And there's hope for me. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a chance that my radiation was so extensive that I received such burns that there's even a spot on my lung, and you know, that's okay. I'm here, and I have two grandbabies, two wonderful grandbabies that I I spend a lot of time with my children, and I enjoy every day that I have, and there's hope for us. So all I can say to those out there is, you know, take it a day at a time, be positive. There's treatment out there. There's all kinds of
different methods.
There's
to
methods.
Look at.
There's yeah. There's new.
New things to look at.
Yes.
Yeah, there's always new foundation that they're looking at.
Right.
What's your relationship with God?
My relationship.
I mean, are
yes.
you are you angry with him? I mean,
no.
you've gotten it. You've gotten so much struggle through your life.
It's been tough. I don't think I've ever been angry with God. I always knew there was a reason for everything. Just like with my daughter, my oldest daughter, she's a quadriplegic, yet she lives in her own apartment. She has a service dog, and she's in pain every day, but she never complains. And people look up to her. And she has, a story to tell, too. Everybody's mm-hmm. got a story to tell. Everybody's been through something. All I can say is there's a reason for everything, and there's a lesson, and learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
And just... You know, just know that, it's a lesson. That's all I can say. And just know I'm not afraid anymore. For some reason, I'm not afraid. I know there's a reason, just like with the music. I never set out to be a singer, but here I am singing. And it does make some people tell me that makes them happy. Sometimes it brings memories. Sometimes it does something for them. So I know I'm doing something, for the positive, for the good. So if it's helping somebody and it makes them feel better, that's my job. That's what I do. So.
Well, with your daughter, going back again, that's a tough decision to keep her, to raise her and to stick with it, because a lot of people, again, they don't know how they're they don't have the strength, they don't have the courage, and they end up giving the baby away for adoption because they don't want to deal with it. What did you learn out of that whole struggle?
I was so young when I had her. I didn't, and she was my first. It was a learning lesson with me and her. I had no idea. It was a day-to-day thing with her, and she had many surgeries, spinal fusion. I've almost lost her a couple of times. It was very, very tough on my heart. It was painful mm-hmm. to see her suffer. It wasn't hard for me. It was hard to see her suffer and go through pain. That's what was tough. And getting through all of those years, I look back at it, and there's no regrets. It was a learning experience for me. And all I can say is, wow, she is just an inspiration to so many and to myself. And like I said, there was a reason, and she's an angel. She's just my angel, and she's in her own apartment, and she's still teaching everybody. She taught me, and she's teaching others.
Mm-hmm.
So there were no regrets, none at all.
Mm-hmm.
No, we had a lot of fun together. She's done beauty pageants. She's, used to, I would pick her up and put her in the truck and take her with me, put her wheelchair on the back of that truck, and we took off to Barstow 1 week. She spent a week with me in that truck on a job, and I'll never forget those times. We had lots of good times together.
Mm-hmm. Wow, very interesting. What would you tell parents of children that are going through that situation?
A day at a time. And if there are advocates out there for the parents and for the children, there's a lot of help and resources and backup. If you get too tired, or if you just can't handle it, if you're having a bad day, there's somebody you can call. Resources, like I said, there's resource centers out there. Look into it. Whatever the disability is, the Cerebral Palsy Foundation, Spina Bifida, whatever this disability is, there's something out there for resources and for help for the parents
mm-hmm.
to give some backup and respite care.
Mm-hmm. Depending where they want to go over that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would believe that both situations that you've gone through are very toll-taking on your soul.
Oh, a little tired. That's why I retired out of the truck. It was a little too much. I was on medication, and I knew it was time to step down. It was a very dangerous job, and I really didn't want to put anybody in danger. I knew that I wasn't well, and I didn't want to, you know, hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, 80,000 pounds. It was time to step down and take a break and just focus on myself and healing and getting better and work on my music.
And now, music does heal the soul. Do you believe that?
Oh, definitely. Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
It heals. Mm-hmm.
Does the singing vibrate through your body?
Yes, it does, and it gives me peace.
Mm-hmm.
It brings peace.
Getting back to the question of God, how often did you have to go look for religion? Are you a spiritual person in which you meditate, yoga? What do you do?
Sometimes I go outside and I just look up at the sky and I say, Lord, help me, you know, just get through this day. Or I have my mother's Bible and I'll open up my mother's Bible and I'll look at it and there'll be a scripture there and it's for me and it's talking to me. I have many friends. Most of my friends, especially in the Latino community that I work with in the music, are spiritual, and they work with me, and they pray for me, and they're there for me. And if I have a problem or if I have doubts, I'll call a friend. I'll call one of my friends, or you know, or one of my family, and I'll tell them, and they'll say, "Let's pray together." I'll even be on a gig somewhere, and they'll lay their hands on me, and say, "Let's pray." And bring me out of that desperation I may be feeling or doubt,
mm-hmm.
and give me hope.
All right. And what group are you playing with now?
I'm playing with three different groups. I play with my husband sometimes with the All Stars, Raymond Cordova. A lot of them are the Latin All Stars, different groups. Mm-hmm. A lot of members from Malo, Tierra, War. El Chicano, and then also I play with Positive Source, Out of the Valley, a couple of the groups, Out of the Valley.
What valley?
Sangria. I mean,
there's a lot of valleys.
This is San Fernando Valley,
okay,
or the L.A. area,
mm-hmm.
A lot of the L.A. area,
mm-hmm.
in Los Angeles, yes,
right.
Or the Orange County area.
Uh-huh. That's two bands, right?
There's about three bands. Sangria also.
Sangria.
It's very well known. From 1971, they've been established, and I'm very honored to be playing with all of these groups.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. And so how do you feel where you're at now today compared to 20, 30 years ago?
I feel wiser.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very wise. I feel blessed. My children are right now, they're all healthy. And my grandchildren are healthy. And I feel blessed more than anything. And I take it a day at a time with my health as far as that and stay positive. And just I feel thankful, very thankful.
Mm-hmm. So what would you tell young ladies out there that are in high school right now and they're running around with their boyfriends? Would you tell them to get married young?
Oh, no. No, that was tough. That was tough.
What would you tell them?
I would say stay in school. Find something that you are interested in as far as a career, and wait on marriage and children. It's a lot of work, a lot of commitment. And, just stay forward, look forward to your career and what you want to do in life. And absolutely stay in school.
All right. Well, any last thoughts?
I just want to thank you all for having me here. I'm very honored to be part of your show. For those who are going through something, stay positive, move forward, be thankful for what we have. And our day is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Every day is a beautiful
day. Every day. Yes, look outside and see, you know, what we have, and we're blessed. And your children and your grandchildren, embrace them.
Mm-hmm. And any last comments? I know we talked about cancer, breast cancer, and where could people go to get some help?
I really believe that every woman should go and have a mammogram. You know, check into your history and see if you have the BRCA gene or the HER2 new gene, which I have, a very aggressive cancer. If it's in your family, have your mammogram every year. If you can, it's not going to hurt you. And follow up on it, and make sure and follow up on it, because my cancer spread to 6 centimeters all the way across my chest within 2 weeks. So follow up on it, take care of business. Don't let that slide, because it's not something that you just wait on and just put it behind. You just do not wait on that. Take care of business.
All right. Well, thank you for coming. We really do appreciate it. You'll come back again, ¿verdad?
Thank you so much.
All right. That's going to do it for us, Raza. We want to thank you for tuning in to Chicano Highlights. We've been with Becky Cordova, and this is your host, The Beto Man. We'll come back at you next time. Hasta la próxima, Raza. Ahí te guacho.
Hi, this is Becky Cordova with the All-Star Band, and you are listening to EastLAReview.com.
Sé que aún me queda una oportunidad. Sé que aún no es tarde para recapacitar. Sé que nuestro amor es verdadero. Me quedan, yo viviré por darte amor, borrando cada dolor con besos llenos de pasión, como te amé por vez primera. Con los años que me quedan, quiero olvidar cualquier error. No quise herirte, mi amor. Sabes que eres mi adoración. Lo serás mi vida entera. No puedo imaginar vivir sin ti. No quiero recordar cómo te perdí. Quizás fue madurez de mi parte. No te supe querer. Te aseguro que los años que me quedan los voy a dedicar a ti, hacerte tan feliz que te enamores más de mí. Yo te amaré hasta que muera. ¿Cómo comprobar que no soy quien? Tiempo te dirá si tienes fe en mí, que como yo te amé, más nadie te podrá amar jamás. Dime que no es final. Sé que aún me queda una oportunidad. Nuestro amor es verdadero. Con los años que me quedan por vivir, demostraré cuánto te quiero. is not the first time. It's happened before. Oh, the boy that I love doesn't love me anymore. Return.